spring here in American Falls on this sixth Sunday of Pentecost. I will direct your attention to your bulletin where we will find this morning's liturgy. Let us center ourselves on the God who has created, who has redeemed, and who sanctifies us. As we begin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Thank you.
cares of our lives, make us attentive to your presence, that we may treasure your word above all else. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the lesson.
The first reading today is from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 10a. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent and from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourself, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to our servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today is Psalm 15. We will read that responsively. O Lord, who may abide in your tent?
Who may dwell on your holy hill?
Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right,
and speak the truth from their heart,
who do not slander with their tongue,
and do no evil to their friends,
nor heap shame upon their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest,
and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved.
The second reading today is from Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a minister of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its minister according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden through the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Oh, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her."
Praise be to you, O Christ.
And now, O Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, when I was a wee bit of a lad and growing up, that was over half a century ago now, there was, an auxiliary. Did you catch that word? It was an auxiliary of women in the local parish who were known as the Mary Martha League. And they were tasked and self-identified as the ladies who did a lot of what could reasonably be deemed the domestic or nurturing nuts and bolts work of the parish. There were many tasks that they did. Most of them came out of the kitchen. All things kitchen-related belonged to the Mary Martha League. Then there was the hospitality, the clean-up, the knitting, the sewing, the repairing of paraments and the altar linens. They were the Mary Martha League. Now, their work was appreciated immensely, in both the authentic sense of that word and also our culturally learned politis, appreciated. They were appreciated. That is, some among the community truly appreciated the Mary Martha League, which means they were profoundly grateful for the tireless work and service of the League and its members. Others in the community appreciated the League and its members in the second sense of the word by acknowledging and summarily dismissing them so that they could get to work with the important work of the parish or the community. I'm appalled to report that very often this morning's gospel lesson is often used as the foundation for the sentiments of those who appreciated the Mary Martha League in that second sense of the word. We acknowledge you, now go away. We've heard it all of our lives. We appreciate you, now get. This morning's gospel lesson has been abused on many fronts to demean and to diminish the Marthas among us
while elevating the Marys among us. The all-too-human tendency to approach everything in life, including Holy Writ, from an either-or paradigm instead of the both-and model of framing our visions. Two really big words I learned in seminary, eogesis and exogesis. Eogesis is when we approach Holy Scripture and read into it from ourselves our contemporary thoughts already held. Exegesis is when we open Holy Writ and read out of it to ourselves what was meant in its context and culture at the time it was first presented. There's a lot of eogesis on the television today. More and more and more. We like to divide ourselves and each other into us and them. Us and not us. Our kind, their kind. That would be eogesis, not exegesis. Here's a joke. And it's funny because it's probably true. One day, a delegation from a foreign country arrived at a particular factory. And while touring the assembly line, that delegation stopped and their leader interrupted one of the workers and, having made the necessary introductions, asked that worker, "Just what is your job here?" And the worker, we'll call him Lars. Lars answered, "Well, I put bolts on nuts and drop them in this bucket for Anders to come and take it away when it's full to the top." Well, just then, a husky lad appeared who proceeded to heft that bucket and walk away. The leader of the delegation... Now, the delegation were all clipboarded and therefore very important looking, were furiously scribbling notes the whole time. The leader stopped the bucket bearer and asked, "Are you Anders?" And he answered, "Yeah." And he said, "So, Anders, what do you do here?" And immediately, with earnest pride, Anders answered, "We make Volvos." The question is the same to both of them, but the answers from Lars and from Anders come from completely different frameworks of understanding why they are there and the meaning of their work. They're both good workers. Let no one here criticize either one of them. They're both really good workers. But our gospel lesson might and has tempted out of some listeners, some hearers and readers, the mistaken view that our Lord Jesus Christ is reproving Martha over and against Mary because Mary is a learner and a contemplative, while Martha is a busy worker attending to less lofty pursuits, the pursuit of a comfortable hospitality for everyone in her home, Jesus, Mary, herself, perhaps others. Their brother Lazarus comes to mind as a distinct probability. But Jesus' reproof of Martha this morning communicates no such thing. There is no elevation, nor there is there any diminishing of either sister's activity. No, the reproof Jesus offers Martha is because Martha's complaint to Jesus about Mary reveals the difference not of their tasks contemplating by Mary, or hands flying and feet scurrying, by Martha. The difference which Jesus calls out in each sister's is each sister's focus. Mary is indeed seated at Jesus' feet. She is focusing on Jesus and his word, while Martha is focused on Mary. Yes, Martha is focused on Mary, while Mary is focused on Jesus. It's not the difference in their activities which earns Jesus' response to Martha's complaining and his comparison of the sisters, but it's Martha's comparison of the sisters as her focus is not on Jesus. It's on Mary, and Jesus rebukes that, not her work. Now, as we go about our various callings and bring our diverse gifts to the larger whole, which we are, that is, the body of Jesus Christ, to the world he loves so much that he has died, and on whose behalf he has risen and ascended. May we be given grace to avoid being Marthas who focus on anything or someone else other than Jesus himself. Let us pray for the grace to emulate Mary, who focuses on Jesus, whether she's contemplating or working in the kitchen, who turns her attention to Jesus and his word, which is to say, let us repent, let us turn. As we turn nuts and bolts, carry buckets, as we contemplate, as we provide hospitality, as we do anything and everything, let us pray for grace to focus always on Jesus. Let us appreciate Jesus always in that first sense of the word. Our hymn of the day is 769.
Thank you. solidarity with all creation, we join our voice to the voice of the whole church and pray for the needs of the world. Inspire your church, like Sarah and Mary, to listen with eager longing for your words of life. Equip biblical interpreters and teachers with faithful discernment that your word may be more fully known. God of grace, every creature under heaven has been promised the hope of the gospel. From that promise, generate in humankind an eagerness to protect and care for creation. Bring healing to the earth with your words of life. God of grace, heal away the distractions, worries, and fears of all who govern the nations of this world. May your word of love and life dispel all other voices. Provide gracious hospitality in places where hostile forces hold sway. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Speak your word of comfort to any who suffer pain, illness, grief, depression, or despair, especially those who are up to be down in our hearts. Bring honor to any who experience slander and evil intent or are discredited by others. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Enliven and uphold all siblings in Christ who strive to provide hospitality and safe spaces where everyone, without exception, can receive and be transformed by your word of life. God of grace, for Abraham, Sarah, Aaron, Mary, Martha, and all the saints who attend to your word, we give thanks. Open our ears to your voice until that day when we realize the promise of the gospel with all creation. God of grace, trusting in your loving kindness, we place our prayer and hope in you, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated for the announcement.
All right, we only have two kids, but I'm going to take advantage of this. Charlie, Victoria, come and sit with me for a minute. You're going to have to come up here and bring me in the house. Who do you think you're cuddle with me? No? Yeah, Charlie's a little clear over there, isn't it? Oh, she's sick. Okay, so can you listen to what the gospel lesson was? Yeah, no. Okay. So it was about Mary and Martha. Who was doing all the food, getting all the stuff ready, you know? Martha. Who was listening to Jesus? It's not Mary. There you go. Process of elimination. There we go. Okay, so, you know, what did we notice there, though? Martha was all getting everything ready, doing all the stuff. She's looking at her sister like, get over here and help me, okay? You ever do that when you're doing chores at home? Get over here and help me. Yeah. I had a sister like that. She never helped me clean the room. So when she got a quarter to do paper cleaning, there she was. Getting her quarter. But you know, when I have a company at my house, usually it's just family, sometimes friends come over, I'm getting all the stuff ready, right? You've got to have food for a good party, right? You should probably clean up your house a little bit for a good party, yeah. So I get all the stuff ready. Then, when the people come, guess what I do? What do you think? Do I keep
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year, it is the sixth Sunday of Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Steve Theobald. Happy birthday this week to Isaac Zavison, George Campbell, Arnie Burgemeister. Happy birthday, Arnie, this week, because I'll forget to tell you even if I see you. Charlie Woodworth, Vicki Meadows, and Diane Sims. Happy anniversary this week to Jerry and Tony Bauer, Jonathan and Melanie Kress, Vincent and Jessica Harris, and GR and Kelly Long. There will be no usage of the gym, not even for coffee hour, not even to walk on, until July 22nd. The gym floor has just been refinished. We're giving it a chance to cure up. We welcome today Dr. David Perry, our organist, a guest organist. We're giving Marita a little grace, giving Anne a little grace, a little rest. We also hear this week of the death of former pastor's wife, Vivian Landvik. She passed away this week. Are there any other announcements? No one's behind me, so the offering will be collected at this time.
Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, open to us the way of everlasting and eternal life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
This is the table of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who invites.
Thank you.
thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, in faith towards you, and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Love and service.